This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 13th, 2022, the 22nd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
In your patience you shall possess your soul.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
The newer version of the scriptures, that last verse, the gospel reading today, the newer version, by your endurance you will gain your lives. In the older versions, in your patience you shall possess your souls. What is it, patience or endurance? It is both. The Greek word is actually the best definition of that Greek word is patient endurance. It's not one or the other, it is truly both. Because when you put both together, this is what we should be considering as patience when we discuss it in the context of the grace that's given us by the Holy Spirit. This patience that is obviously tremendously necessary, given our Lord's words. In your patience, you shall possess your souls. That sounds like something you should pay attention to. Patience for us, and this is me speaking as a priest who listens in the confessional and in my office and in just conversations here and there. There is probably nothing that comes up more often than people worrying about, lamenting over their impatience. Why is that? It's because patience is not in our nature. We are by nature impatient. Why is that? Because by our nature, we are prideful. Okay? And when things don't go our way, we get all kind of bent out of shape about it. All right? This is impatience. Impatience, I mean, the lowest common denominator, because we've got to define it. Is it so important that our Lord says, by your patience, you will possess your souls, or by your endurance, you will gain your lives? Well, we should be able to define this correctly in the context of what we're talking about as Catholics. What is patience? Lowest common denominator. This is the way the world looks at it. Patience is, and this is a dictionary definition, the capacity to accept or tolerate things without getting angry or upset. A pagan can do that over a short period of time. That is truly no big deal, to be able to deal with something for whatever period of time. For us, that's not the definition. I mean, in a sense, foundationally, it may be, like I said, lowest common denominator. But for us, when we look at patience, and what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about is the spiritual gift of patience. And like I said before, it is not in our nature to be patient. It is unnatural for us. It is something that is alien to us. It is something that has to be given us. Our Lord gives us the grace to be patient. However, just like every other grace, we need to cooperate with it. We need to work with it. We need to use the word, forge it. We need to forge our patience. And the only way you forge things is through trial and fire. Patience is not something propositional that needs to be bantered about in the confessional, in the office, or amongst ourselves, talking about how patient we are. We can talk about being patient all day long. How do you prove your patience? Particularly when you have a definition like the virtue of patience. Because the temporal definition, the capacity to accept or tolerate things, the spiritual definition is the virtue that makes us withstand with calmness of soul, with these two caveats, for the love of God and in union with Jesus Christ, all physical and moral sufferings, all physical and moral sufferings, they basically, that covers the gamut. Name your poison. The trials of this world. Unfortunately, very rarely can I get up to say, always, never, always, check this out, always, we are going to be confronted with bad things in this world. That's just the nature of the beast, literally and figuratively. We have to understand that we are going to deal with things in this world, and occasionally, very bad things. And particularly when you're younger, bad things are, oh, this, you know, this ruffles your feathers, this ruffles your feathers, this might be bad, this might be, you don't lose a lot of people. Not a lot of people die when you're young, okay? It's really kind of an anomalous thing when people die. You live long enough, all of a sudden, people start dying relatively frequently. And as you get older, it's more and more frequently. And then people start dying that are like younger than you. It's just the reality of things. People get sick. People lose jobs. This happens, that happens. It's like, name your poison. Whatever it may be, our patience as Catholics is that spiritual gift that makes us approach each and everything with a calmness of soul. Calmness of soul does not mean keeping your mouth shut, necessarily, why things go on. We should really watch that. But when our Lord Jesus Christ was hanging from the cross, for instance, in his humanity, he was overwhelmed by the situation. In his deity, he knew why he had to come. He knew what he told his apostles three times that we know of in detail. Son of man's got to be handed over to evil men to be spat upon and crucified and scourged and die. He knew that was going to happen, but when he was hanging on the cross, what do you get? My God, why have you forsaken me? In his deity, you know his Father's not going to forsake him, but in his humanity, it sure felt like it. And he reacted. But he still dealt with it with a calmness of spirit. Because at any moment, Jesus could have said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is getting real old. I'm coming down. He could have done that. You know, they're mocking him. Come down from the cross. He could have very well come down from the cross, but he didn't. He approached this whole thing with calmness of soul. That's patience. That's the grace that we're talking about. And we need to foster that. They said those two caveats as to why we withstand things in this world. Two things. God's will, because that's the love of God part. To understand, I always say it nauseates me. It does. It nauseates me because it's sacrilegious to hear Catholics say, that wasn't God's will. And it is truly unfortunate. In this day and age, I hear that relatively frequently. That's sacrilege. God, he's in control of everything, okay? And even when you don't like it, or if something is presented in your life that is overwhelming, it is his will. Whether it be decretive or permissive, it is still his will. That actually makes it a bit more comfortable. Because if it's not his will, whose was it? What circumstance in your life is there in which God is not in control over? You talk about your feet being planted in midair. That's it. Okay? If we look at it, I don't get this, and this is horrible, but got to be for either his glory and or my sanctification. That's patience. That's his withstanding stuff. Submitting to God's will for the love of God and in union with Jesus Christ, because there should be nothing more potent a stimulus for us to approach the things in this life properly when we gaze on a crucifix. When we consider our Lord's passion, what he endured as God unwarrantedly for our benefit, because he didn't deserve to be hung on a cross. He knew no sin. He dealt with that for us. It gained him nothing. Overwhelming. His lamentation to his Father. Why hast thou forsaken me? He was overwhelmed in his humanity over this whole thing. And when we look at a crucifix, I mean, because there are things that happen in our lives. We look at them and we go, I don't even know how to pray. I don't need to. Then just look at a crucifix. Look at a crucifix and understand the gospel when our Lord says, a servant is not greater than his master. If our Master Jesus Christ had to deal with what he dealt with, how could we even ever consider, well, I don't deserve this. Well, you know what? We could have a long discussion about this in the office someday. Well, not the forum right here to do that. But yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. We deserve things like that in this life because we're sinners. All right? That's all there is to it. We live in a sin, cursed, and fallen world. That's just the reality of things. However, we should withstand them with this grace that is Catholic patience. Not just tolerating things, but tolerating them in heartfelt submission to God's will and for our love of Jesus Christ. And in recompense for what he's done for us. Now, our Lord wants us to understand this idea of patience. Because most people, if you go to this gospel passage, and it's not wrong, most people like, oh, about the end times, talk about the end times, do the end times. But our Lord Jesus Christ is answering the question, Lord, when are these things going to come? When are you going to... He gives them a list of things that are going to come, but he ties everything up with, in your patience, you will possess your souls. He's giving them, what we used to call in the cop days, mental preparation. When new cops, new soldiers, they get hot, you know, you enlist, you do this. Your training is presenting you with scenarios that are really, really high end, so you're prepared to face them. Because most of them aren't as high end as you're presented in training. So if you've gone through this, even in training, you're somewhat prepared to deal with things on a day-to-day basis, the more mundane and routine little things you deal with as a cop. But it's a mental prep thing. If you just hired somebody, hey, welcome to cop world, here's your gun, here's your badge, go out and drive around, there would be big problems. That would just be the reality thing, because they wouldn't be prepared of anything. It ain't like TV, to use bad grammar, believe you me. That's not what it's like. You got to be able to think on your feet and deal with a lot of things that you got to learn through experience and training. So this mental prep is what Jesus got, because he is not satisfying their idle curiosity about the end times. I mean, that is their question. Lord, what's going to happen? This, that, and the other thing is going to happen, but gird yourselves up. Be prepared for these things, because by your patience you shall possess your souls. All these bad things are going to happen. You just best deal with them properly. Because if you don't, he said, you will gain your souls if you're patient. You will lose your soul if you're not. I mean, you really look at this, brass tacks. God, our God is a God of order. And patience is ordering our interior lives to deal with things over which we may have no control. Our God is a God of order, and he demands patience of us. His enemy, Satan, is the prince of disorder. So when we are impatient, we are giving over ourselves over to something that is opposed to what God desires for us in being patient. Because our Lord, you know, he's not appealing to their or answering their idle curiosity. He is preparing them and protecting them from being scandalized or discouraged in their faith. Because there are a lot of Christians that, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to Mass on Sunday. Nothing bad should happen to me. Says who? It's going to happen. Our Lord gives us a heads up that it's going to happen. And he wants us to deal with it properly. Because to avoid just being discouraged and scandalized, we avoid them by approaching them in patience as a grace. Patience is not something, I keep harping on, it's not our nature. Patience cannot be, it's not instantaneous. Oh, I got baptized, now I'm patient. I'll speak for that. No, I'm not. I was baptized 60 years ago. I'm still working on it. It's a grace. It has to be forged. It has to be nurtured. It's not instantaneous. I used the term before. It's got to be forged. How do you forge? You think of a piece of metal. You put it in a fire. You get it real hot. And then what do? You beat the heck out of it. That makes it better. It makes it stronger. It makes it more pure. That's patience. That's patience. Whatever our Lord may give us. Because I get this whole, not infrequently, all the hardships. Why would the Lord do this? Why would the Lord do that? It doesn't matter what the hardship may be. It's there for a reason. And the reason, there's all kinds, but a couple of them. If there are no hardships, there is no contrasting good with evil. There is no contrast in how to properly deal with things and how not to deal with them. Good people, with the grace of God, when they're confronted with really bad things in this life, they will deal with them with calmness. They will turn their back. They will go away. They will not give in to their pride and all this kind of stuff. They won't flip out, okay, to a lesser or greater extreme. The world flips out. I'm going to let him know what Some of them grab guns and go in and kill a bunch of people because they didn't get their way or things aren't going the way they want. The comparing and contrasting between good and evil only comes with how are you going to react to this bad situation? Because we live in a sin, cursed, and fallen world, and it's full of bad situations that are going to happen to us eventually. We need to be prepared to deal with them. We need to be forged by these hardships in this world. And another thing, and this is a truly unfortunate thing, in the modernist Catholic Church, you actually have people, I've heard clerics, negate this whole idea of purgation, purging sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. We are looked upon in a forensic way by God as righteous by his shed blood. But there are still temporal consequences to our sin. People just don't get, they disconnect with that whole temporal consequence of sin. How can you be forgiven and there's still a consequence for it? It's like if you borrow something from somebody. You borrow somebody's lawnmower and you run over a stump in your yard and you trash the thing. The guy you borrow it, hey, don't worry about it. I got three other mowers. I got a riding mower. That's just an old mower and everything like that. Don't even worry about it. That's forgiveness. And he means it by the bottom of his heart. He still doesn't have something that he had before. There's a temporal consequence. And most people, if they're righteous in any way, shape, or form, they'll, oh, I'm forgiven. Okay, I'll chuck your mower in the garbage. Okay, no, what do? They have it fixed or they replace it for him. Now, he might go, I don't want it, but you try. That's purgation. If we do not have hardships in this world, we don't do things to make recompense for our sin. Like I said, I hear clerics. I heard a cleric on TV one time. Somebody, it was a call-in thing. What about corporal works of penance? We don't do that anymore. Yeah, Father, it's very obvious we don't do things like that anymore. And who's we? Catholics do. Your little group might not. Your big group might not. But Catholics do. It's a part of our faith. This is how we forge patience. Because we're sinners, and we want to do everything we can to alleviate the consequences of that. This is a reality. It speaks to the pagan when we react properly to bad things in this world. This is kind of interesting. The Emperor Trajan, the Roman Emperor Trajan, who condemned St. Ignatius of Antioch for one and many other Christians to their death. While he was in the Colosseum watching people get burned and eaten by lions and bears and crucified and all this other stuff, you know what Trajan said? This is a quote from Trajan, the Roman Emperor. No people suffer so much for their God as the Christians. As a statement, he said that probably mockingly. Can you believe these people? And this Jesus, I'm setting them on fire and they keep coming. You know, they just keep coming. They, he mockingly said, no people suffer so much for their God. We're Romans. We got all kind of gods. And nobody would put up with that for any of them. These people, can you believe it? Some criminal we crucified in Judea. What is up with this? It resonated with him, what he was seeing, the way Christians dealt with what he was doing. So even the darkest, hardest heart is moved, maybe even mockingly, but moved nonetheless by the way we deal with things in this world. It's a feather in our cap. It's a glory of Christ because we're supposed to be following him. And it is an absolute spiritual necessity, this thing that is patience as a grace, not just tolerating things, but tolerating for love of God and in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it is so important. Our Lord says, in your patience, you shall possess your souls. That's not the only place in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 16. The patient man is better than a valiant man. Talking about a soldier. Well, you know, soldier, I'm not questioning their being valiant. not questioning their bravery. But really, how brave do you have to be a soldier when you're surrounded by hundreds or thousands of other soldiers? Okay, you might get killed, you might not, but you got a lot of your buddies hanging around you. I used to do, and people, oh, that's so dangerous, what you do. I said, no, it's not. Hey, you know, riding around in a police car by yourself, going to domestic calls and pulling cars over, you know, with 15 miles away from the nearest backup, that's dangerous. Running in a house with 14 other guys with machine guns, not really. I was a whole lot more anxious riding around by myself in a car going to this or going to that than I ever was going into a house. I won't be taken alive. Yeah, okay. That's the reality of things, how you approach things. Okay, and the reality, because we approach things, you know, I approach that like that because I had 14 of my buds around me. Our Lord is desiring something of us that's interior. You got nobody to help you with your patience. Nobody. That is a strictly you thing. This is what our Lord's talking about. You need to prepare yourself. Because guess what? When somebody gets sick, somebody dies in your life, it's the way you're going to deal with it. And particularly if it's you. When you know that your end is coming. How you deal with that. That's just you and Jesus. You could be surrounded by loving family, friends in your church. Everybody saying rosaries, this, that, the other thing. But it's between you and Jesus at the end. There could be a lot of comfort going on right there, but it's still you. And this is what patience is about. St. Gregory the Great, always close up with saints, hopefully. St. Gregory the Great says, patience is the root and guardian of all virtues. It is the complex of all virtues. We truly possess our souls when we live in all things perfect, and from the citadel of virtue, command and control all the emotions of our hearts and our minds. Self-control. It's a necessity. We have to have self-control in the most trying of circumstances, because this is what our Lord's bottom line is. Like I said, he's not appealing to their curiosity of what's going to happen at the end. He said, no matter what happens at the end, you don't know when I'm coming back. I might call you to myself. I might come back. But you need to prepare yourself for when it happens. And you need to prepare yourself, and I'm going to help you out with it. I'm going to present things in your life where you must deal with them. And if you do not deal with them, you are not going to be ready for the judgment. And if you deal with them properly, you'll possess your soul. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.